Welcome to the Conscious Consulting Podcast. Today's topic is the exploration of radically new business models that are based on spiritual principles. Our guest today is Professor Laszlo Zsolnay. He is director of the Business Ethics Center at the Corvinus University in Budapest, and he is president of the European SPES Institute, SPES standing for Spirituality in Economics and Society. Professor Zsolnay has been questioning the predominant materialistic paradigm of economics for more than 40 years, and he's developed an alternative view and approach based on spiritual and holistic principles. So welcome, Laszlo. So happy to have you here today. But before we go into the topic of radical new business models, I want to give you one general question about how you got so interested in the topic of business ethics and what does it mean to you personally?
Yeah. So I was graduated in economics and finance in the 80s. And from the very beginning, I developed a strong distaste, the self-interest oriented conception of human beings in mainstream economics and finance. This is a so-called homo economicus model, which is an axiom of mainstream economics. I never accepted that. I never accepted that, partly because of ethical reasons, and partly because of the relevance, the empirical validity of this concept. So, and later on, really big names, including Amartya Sen, Robert Frank, and others, but also me, developed a very strong critique of this human foundation of economics, both from a theoretical, I mean, a normative ethical point of view, and also from an empirical and experimental point of view. So this conception of the man and the world is completely wrong, in my view, but more important, is disastrous for economic and business practice, and also for human and non-human lives. So, but that was my feeling, or in a way, conviction, in the very beginning, that we should not accept that. That approach centered on self-interest, profit maximization, and this is a one-dimensional behavioral model. And gradually just started to develop alternative viewpoints, alternative models. And just very shortly, I was in the 90s, I was working in Berkeley, in California, and I learned business ethics, which in that time was also relatively new in the U.S. And when I came back to Budapest with other colleagues, we started a business ethics center, one of the first center in Europe. 30 years ago, actually this year, later in December, we will celebrate the 30th anniversary of the Business Ethics Center in Budapest. So very shortly, this was my move from mainstream hardcore economics to more alternative approaches, including business ethics and sustainability. Mm-hmm.
And why do you think, I mean, it's quite obvious, but maybe more specifically, why do we need radical new business models based on a new paradigm?
So I think that the main problems of the so-called Anthropocene, which is a nice, but also scientific name for or age. So this Anthropocene is dominated by by the application of mainstream business and economic models. And sorry to say, but this is the main cause. This is a worldwide global application of this one-dimensional, very aggressive models cause almost all the ecological, human, and social problems what we have, including climate change, biodiversity loss, ecosystem collapse, huge global and national inequalities, social unrest, welfare deficiencies, and so on and so on and so. So if this is true, and the main problem is caused by the uncritical application of mainstream economic and business models, we cannot go forward. We cannot cope with these problems using the same models, because a lot of approaches just try to somehow modify or extend or reform a little bit the mainstream mainstream models, and they hope that this is okay in the Anthropocene and we will solve our problems in this way. A little bit more greener economic growth, more responsible, you know, more responsible business leaders and blah, blah, blah. So I don't believe in that. Actually, this can make the situation worse, much worse. And in one sentence, I would summarize the problem of mainstream models in a more practical way, that they want to produce financial wealth for the owners at the expense of nature, society, and future generations. Mm-hmm. This is the basic. This is common in almost all mainstream models. Financial wealth for a few people or groups, and not too much respect or even disrespect for the ecological, social, and future generation consequences. So this is what we have, and I think everybody in every country, almost in every country, suffer from this kind of practice, but also this kind of mental model, including the UK, the USA, Europe, even in India today, in India, in China, not to mention Japan, Australia, and so. if we want to have a chance, at least a chance, to cope with these enormous problems, really unprecedented in the history of humanity, where the existential, really, this is a deep existential threat. So really, not poetically, but in real terms, the survival of our species, the survival of humanity is at stake. So we should try something else. We should try something else. And this is why I think we need to develop radically new, different kind of business and economic models. In the last 20 years, with a lot of colleagues in US, Europe, and India, I am working on this kind of a new models, both theoretically and also practically. So studying dozens of promising models which break with the mainstream logic of business and economics and do something else. And in very shortly, just to characterize the essence of this radically new business and economic models. So that is a huge variety. Huge variety from benefit corporations to community-based enterprises, social business, and a different kind of initiatives. But what is common is maybe two things. One is related to the motivational side, and the other is related to understanding and measuring the success of a business. So from the motivational side, these new kind of businesses are base their functioning on intrinsic motivation. That's the technical term, but I think everybody understands the differences: extrinsic motivation, intrinsic motivation. Extrinsic motivation, which is typical in modern day mainstream business, is money driven. It's money driven. You are doing something because first and foremost you want to get. An income or a profit or whatever. You do something for financial gains. Intrinsic motivation means that you do something because you are committed to a value or values, and you do something because you believe that what you are doing is inherently worthy. For you, for others, for nature, for future, whatever, it does not exclude money. Mm-hmm. But the priority, or in French, the primauté, so the ontological priority is not money, but something, a substantive value and value commitment. So this is a huge difference. Just a short example, because it's in history of economics, that was a famous example of the bread, Adam Smith. Who to expect that you will get bread in a market? And in this famous example by Adam Smith, the founder of economics, is saying in a simplified form that you will expect bread from the baker if you can refer his or her self-interest. So the baker's self-interest will provide you with bread. In a way, that's true. But today, in this globalized, huge, overgrown economy, we know that you can get bread. Bread is a symbol of food. You can get bread from companies who are producing food. But if they are just completely profit-oriented, you will get bread, food, which are not safe, mm-hmm. and provide some very serious health risk or even threat. Also, they destroy the soil and nature, large scale, and so you can get bread, but not a really good, healthy, ecological or natural, organic or whatever bread. So you can get bread from bakers, some entrepreneurs, who are deeply committed to quality, serving people, not just saying that, but really serving, respecting the natural environment, and have a longer-term perspective. Also, they want to get some profit and monetary returns. But the primary motivation is intrinsic commitment. So that's crucial. Even today is more relevant than 200 years ago or 300 years ago. That's a motivational side. The output, in a way, the output side, the how we measure, how they measure success. What is success for them? Mm-hmm. For a conventional mainstream company, success is profit or other kind of monetary results, increasing market share or increasing value of the company among the market value, whatever. So this is success for them. Success for this new kind of companies is understood and measured much broader, much broader sense. Success for them is not just saying in real terms. Success for them is success of their stakeholders. Is the success of well-being or contributing to the well-being of all the stakeholders, that success. And financial return is one aspect of that, but not the whole story.
Yeah.
Not the whole story. One, I never forget this, a CEO of an ethical and sustainable banking institution publicly said, and that's very true, very insightful. He said, the success of our partners, the stakeholders, is our success. This is our success. We define success in this way. So the measure of the outcome, the measure of success is more holistic and much broader, more extended. So we found these two distinctive characteristics of new kind of business models: intrinsic motivation for serving a greater good, not just self-interest, and not just on extrinsic motivation way, and measuring success much broader than a one-dimensional monetary or financial success. These are the ethos, I would say, the ethos of new, radically new businesses all over the world.
Absolutely. When I read through your biography, which is really interesting, I read that you learned a lot from Polanyi, and there is a term that I find extremely interesting that comes to my mind listening to you, a distinction between the embedded economics and disembedded economics, which I find really beautiful, is saying that embedded economics serves the needs of people and nature and society versus disembedded, or I would even say disconnected economics that are destructive to nature, society, and culture.
Just another short example, an everyday story about 100 years ago in Budapest. This was another small-scale entrepreneur, actually a butcher. Because the butcher, that was a real butcher, who said the following, in a minute, I will repeat. The butcher, like the baker, the butcher is the other prime example of Adam Smith. So he is using bakers and butchers. Mm-hmm. to illustrate the, how the market works. So this butcher, 100 years ago in Budapest, was a very successful small entrepreneur in today's term. And he said, when he finished his career as a butcher, he said, I was always honest and loyal to my customers. I never ever cheated them in any way. It sounds trivial, but the tone and the logic is that 100 years ago, ethics was somehow really embedded in the relationship in this case, a butcher and his customers as personal relationship. So the point is that 100 years ago, this unethics, this loyalty, this cheating was simply unthinkable for him. That's out of question. It's unthinkable. Today, even in the best cases, people and organizations think about that is worth it to be ethical or not. You know, it's not unthinkable anymore to be unethical. Mm-hmm. It is a question of calculation to be ethical or not ethical, which relationship you should be ethical, to what degree, and so on and so on. So ethics, that relates to my Karl Polanyi, great transformation thesis, how the market in the last 100, 200 years destroyed and started to dominate and now dominate almost completely society. It is called a market society, not just market and society, it's market-dominated society. So, especially the last 100 years, ethics is just like another economic variable. You can think about this, you can calculate cost-benefit and make a little bit more ethical because this is our interest, a little bit less ethical this is because this is our interest. I am not joking. So 100 years ago, that was unthinkable, unethics, unthinkable for most of these entrepreneurs. So in these new business models, I think we should arrive to a position where activities, economic and business activities, are re-embedded again in social relationships, and ethics becomes again. Unethics becomes again unthinkable. Because for these people, later on I will mention fantastic, really great examples of this kind of entrepreneurs from US, India, or Europe, that for them ethics is not a question of calculation. That's intrinsic motivation, and that's it. Yeah, so for me, the crucial thing is that you see your stakeholders, but stakeholders are people, natural beings, and not yet born people. So these are real beings.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you see them, you approach them instrumentally, completely instrumentally, as a resource for finally monetary gains, for profit, or you approach them not just respecting, but experiencing, feeling that they are inherently worthy beings.
Yeah.
Inherent worth, intrinsic value of nature, intrinsic value of other human beings, intrinsic value of not yet born people. If you approach them in this way, you will do different things, and you will do things differently. I will give examples.
Yeah.
How can this kind of an approach can be organized into new business models?
That's
new
wonderful.
Business model.
Because
new
business did,
model.
You did extensive research around the world with your partners to find those examples that are already working in a new paradigm that you are promoting and that you would like to see more, as I see, and that you would see as a possible solution to or an alternative concept to what we were made believe the way it is the only alternative. So that's really propaganda. And you are now proving and working on showing it can be done differently. And I would be very interested, what are like great examples that you found? And how are they measuring their success? And what are they doing? What are they doing really specifically different to everyone else that's more beneficial, that's embedded, that's in relationship, and that's adding to the whole rather than simply extracting?
No, I would recall three main examples. I mean, best examples. One is from the US, one is from Europe, and one is from India.
Perfect.
And these three, as we will see, represent different kind of spiritual traditions. One is Buddhism, another is Hinduism, and another is Anthroposophy, which is a special kind of a combination of Eastern and Western spiritual traditions. Also, maybe at the end, I will refer to the new initiative by Pope Francis, it's called the Economia Francesco, in which I'm strongly involved. But maybe
yes,
later. So the three examples, just shortly, because most of the people heard about this. But it's really worthy to jump into the models shortly and the philosophy behind this new practice. Now the one is Patagonia from California. This is well known because it's a big, a relatively big international company, famous of its avant-garde practice of doing things, at least for the last 30, 35 years or more. And Patagonia is famous of producing a very special kind of outdoor, so nature-related products. Also products, not just clothes, but some products related to outdoor sport activities in mountains and so on. So. But not just extraordinary quality, but really a very deep ecological thinking from the very beginning. Also, the company was famous, and the founder of this company, Yvon Cochard, is a Buddhist, Zen Buddhist in California. And they, from the very beginning, developed what in the US is called really a social activist strategy. So that, in addition to their business, it's a very successful business, but in addition to that, because of their conviction, they promoted very strongly, they spent a lot of money in promoting very progressive social and ethical and environmental causes. And I say, what is the very end, really a happy ending of this WHO story? Also, just imagine, because the name of the company is Patagonia, and Patagonia is also a huge, very interesting and important area in South America, in Argentina. And they bought huge areas of wildlife areas for themselves, for the company to preserve these huge areas for the future. So they bought this really completely altruistically, because there is no economic benefit in buying that huge land. They are just keeping that land and nature, wide nature, for the future and for nature itself. So that's all these nice things. But the happy ending is that last year, 2020, September, and this was a headline in Financial Times, Wall Street Journal, New York Times, the founder and the CEO of Patagonia, Ivan Košard, decided that from now, the only owner of the company, the Patagonia company, will be the earth. And he developed a fantastic, very unique corporate governance model, plus some legal structure, how to, as he said, donate the whole company to the earth. So from last year, this very successful company will serve only one stockholder, the earth herself. Now, this is really an extraordinary move, never ever happened in business history. And this is very much in line with Buddhism. An unconditional altruistic service of others. That's Ivan Košard, Patagonia, California. That's Buddhism at the best. Yeah, it's just one thing I would add, that Ivan Košard famously said that business is the best way to practice Buddhism. So, because a lot of people, Buddhism is, you know, as just one example of a spiritual tradition. So, because a lot of people, very deeply committed spiritual people, believe that business is something, a dirty thing. We should not enter into business because that will destroy our spiritual. No, he said, no, just the opposite. Just the opposite. It's a fantastic way to test and to develop and practice your spirituality. And I agree with that. I agree with that. Very easy to be spiritual in the high Himalayas, in a remote place, doing nothing, just meditating. It's much more difficult, much more challenging, and much more creative to do the right things in business or in universities, or so really complex, in a quotation mark, dirty environments. So that's Ivan Košard, and so I would suggest to study his story, his personality, his creativity, and his spirituality. That how can we do radically new, develop and do and implement radically new business models. Thank you. also I would mention another very different kind of initiative from India. I am working in India for many years, and I am also very much interested in Hinduism. So in India, there is this very successful company called Organic India, and this is in northern India, and as the name suggests, they are producing organic food, but even more importantly, spices which are related to the Ayurveda tradition of a famous Ayurveda medical tradition of Hinduism in India. And their famous product, everybody knows this, or many people know in the West, is Tulsi. This really symbolic spice, very has improving spice. And so they are organizing organic, 100% organic, ecologically based farming activities in northern India, very successfully. But the real novelty in that case is, of course, they developed everything what is required to deal with the farmers, local community, local culture, everything. But they were able to increase, not decrease, increase the ecological quality of the soil, because most of the agricultural practices are destroying the soil. And not many people know that the soil, the fertile soil, is a living thing. Without soil, we cannot produce food. And very easy to destroy the soil, the vitality and ecological quality of the soil. We are doing this almost everywhere in the West, especially in the U.S., those in Europe. So they are able to not just develop what is win-win. This is win-win-win. Win-win-win. Because also nature is a winner. So we can do things with the land, which is positive, not negative, but positive for the land, for the soil. That's unbelievable. Not just serving customers in a very profitable way, not just helping local farms and local communities in a very nice, fair way, but to help to regenerate nature. That's key. That's a key aspect in the Anthropocene. So we can be positive.
For our own survival, I mean, it's the basis of our livelihood overall.
Yeah. This is one of the very few successful examples where a company is really positive, positive for nature, not just blah, 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 really increasing the quality of the soil.
That's so interesting.
But this is fantastic. This is based on a very deep, devotion to the Hindu spiritual principles. So the founders are, one is from Israel, and another is the man, and his wife is Indian. Both of them are deeply devoted to Hindu ethos, Hinduism, and they operationalized this Hindu spirituality in business practice in a wonderful way, in a very successful way. So this is India. There are other nice examples in India, but this is extraordinary. This is extraordinary. All of us can learn from this, how to be positive for nature.
I find that very inspiring, because we sometimes are happy if we think it's enough to reduce the negative impact. Or be neutral, which is also not good enough. It's about creating a positive impact. And I think this should be the vision that we should be after, because I think it's so depressing that we think the best we can is reduce negative impact instead of thinking how can we create something positive.
Yeah, a new new initiative and also a new slogan in the US today, in which I'm also involved, is the so-called Planet Positive. Planet Positive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this is a major initiative of the US Society for Electrical and Electronic Engineers. This is the biggest professional society in the world, based in New Jersey. And they developed, very soon will be published, also standards for engineers, how to develop products, technology, so on. So in a planet positive way. But beyond that, planet positivity for me is really a capturing. It's really a fantastic idea, because the planet is not just nature. We are also part of the planet. So planet is humans and nature together. Being planet positive means that we should organize business activities to be positive both for people, including future generations, and for nature. We should regenerate natural ecosystems. That's planet positive. Organic India is a fantastic example of planet positivity. So as you said, it's not enough to be not too bad.
Yeah.
To reduce the negative symptoms. No, we should do positive things.
Yeah.
We should do different things.
You said you also have an example in Europe.
Is Europe my favorite example? That's banking. Is from the Netherlands. The Triodos Bank, also working, that's Dutch private commercial bank, a pioneer in ethical and sustainable banking, but also working in Belgium and in the UK and partly in Spain and Germany. But the headquarters is in Holland, and this bank was influenced by Anthroposophy, the founders 30-40 years ago. Anthroposophy inspired business people, but the logic, a new kind of a banking, is interesting, because they are basically doing what we can call, and this is well known, triple bottom line investing, but they are doing in a very serious way. So Triodos, the name of the bank, Triodos, is Greek.
Mm-hmm.
Greek means three pillars. The three pillars is economic, finance. Second is social, cultural, because Rudolf Steiner, the cultural development is very important to emphasize with society, and nature. So the logic of their investment and lending policy is that a financial option should be okay in all these three dimensions. All these three dimensions. Otherwise, they are not entered into that kind of a project financing or so. So it's very easy to say, but it's difficult to execute. But this bank is really successful. And to illustrate the seriousness of the bank is that today, especially that was during the COVID and after the COVID, they are really prospering. But their problem is that this is a seriousness of the bank and the leaders of the bank. Much more people want to deposit money in this bank than they can responsibly, following this trio dos, triple bottom line, can invest. So they reject, they refuse money from people because they cannot use their money responsibly. Can you imagine that? This is a bank, is a private commercial bank, and they do not want to calculate to make a trade-off between their ethical, environmental, and social conviction and more money. So they are rejecting people. You cannot deposit more and more money in that bank in the Holland at this moment because they restrict, because there is not enough good investment opportunities in the Netherlands. And just the one illustration effect. So this bank in the last 30, 35 years financed more sustainable and socially responsible ethical projects in the Netherlands than the government of Holland. This is a private commercial bank. They financed more, actually 40,000, around 40,000 sustainability and ethics-oriented projects in the Netherlands, much more than the government of the Netherlands.
Mm-hmm.
So this is success, I think. Mm-hmm. And but without this inspiration from anthroposophy and other sources, the founders of this bank could not develop this kind of a new practice for banking. So it's a very convincing example for the possibility of doing banking and finance in a radically new way. And I stop, but they are initiated really a worldwide movement. It's called in ethical and sustainability banking, and this international organization is called banking on values.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's a huge umbrella kind of organization of alternative banks and financial all over the world, and more than 60, I think, at this moment, more than 60 banks. That it's very difficult to get into this club because they are very strict. Mm-hmm. So 60 or something very innovative banks all over the Italy, Chile, Central America, India, Europe, Scandinavia, a lot of Scandinavia, Denmark, Sweden, Norway. I know these banks are members. So banking on values is possible. It's possible.
I think that's the great thing, is that these examples shows that it is not only possible, but maybe in future it's really the only possibility. It's still, as you say, it's still a little bit on the fringes. It's still not mainstream, but I personally can see more and more people who not only want to create those organizations, but who are not willing to work and participate in organizations that are based on the old mainstream paradigm of greed and exploitation. So there is, I think, some market pressure coming also from the younger generations, from the workforce, as well as from the consumers and clients and market participants that are demanding these kind of values that are more aligned with their personal values. Very interested in the initiative that you said from Pope Francis, which is the Francis economy. Do you want to tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, maybe as at the end, as that's a good point. So this economy of Francesco, officially this is called in English, Francesco, economy of Francesco. Francesco refers to Saint Francis of Assisi, Francesco d'Assisi, initiative by Pope Francis. And the idea is that this is, that was, that is the intention of the Pope, very clever, that we should target young people. So this is a youth initiative under 35. People under 35 are participating in that from all over the world, not just Christians, also Muslims, Buddhists, Hindus. Of course, the majority are Christians, but it's not a Christian movement. It's much more. So under 35, three type of young professionals we are targeting. Economist, young economist, entrepreneurs, young business people, and social movement leaders. We call them social change leaders, under 35 from all over the world. And the Pope initiated this 3 years ago or so. But last year, because of COVID, was just some online activities, but in last September 2022, the first in-person gathering in Assisi, in Italy, took place 3 days. The Pope Francis was there. At the end, he addressed the audience, 2,500 people or more, from all over the world, just young people. Economics, business, and social movement background. So this is, and we continue this in Argentina, in Central America, also in Italy, one day in India. So the idea is, that's the Pope idea, is that we should develop with young people, we should develop completely new kind of economy, and really fantastic, world-class economists, scholars, scientists are working with the Pope to help these young people to achieve something really new, or as you say, radically new. There's a lot of things published on this, so yeah. But in one sentence, maybe, the Pope published a book, was published in German, Italian first, English, many languages. The title of this book is Tells Everything. He said, this economy kills. This economy kills. economy uccide in Italian, economy uccide literally means killing. This economy kills life, human and non-human lives, present and future lives. This is against life. Yeah. And in the economy of Francesco, we want to develop an economy, a new economy, which is not killing life, but actually affirming and serving life, human and non-human life, not just people, but also nature, ecological regeneration, all these kind of things. Mm-hmm. I think that's a huge potential in this movement because of the background, because of the Vatican and the person, the Pope, is a special spiritual authority and fantastic vision. Plus, there's many, many thousands of young people. It's really provides some hope. It's not a guarantee of any success, of course not. But this is at least provide some hope, because today's economy provides not any kind of a hope, not even for survival, not to mention well-being or flourishing. We need to try to develop an economy which serves the flourishing of life, not the destruction of life. This is an open call, and we should be very creative. Mm-hmm. Creative and determined.
Yeah.
And we will see.
Yeah.
It's
actually our highest self-interest. So, yeah, thank you so much, Laszlo, for giving us that overview of business ethics, of radical new business models, why we need them, and how we can contribute to a life-serving economy, every one of us, eventually. And I think that's really the important message for everyone right now, that we are not only helpless and victims of a large monster called economy that's just not really tangible, but through business, through entrepreneurship, invention and technology and creativity and spirituality put together, we can really create an impact and make a difference with choices that we're making every single day. I think every one of us can do that in different approaches. So thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you. Thank you.
And,
thank you. See you.